Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Happy 2016, everybody. I know we all say it each year, but I'm truly excited for this year. 2 years of this podcast, and it's become a ton of fun meeting amazing people from all around the world. Got my wife, Wendy, hard at work, confirming the details for our first annual summit on April 16th to the 17th, which will be in Shenzhen. We're partnering with a few different event companies here, and it's a lot of wheeling and dealing happening right now in January. We're going to brand it the Cross-Border Summit. You can check out all the details at globalfromasia.com/cross-border-summit. Also, for some fun personal updates, I know some of you guys like that. The next couple weeks, my baby girl is due. Her name is going to be Maggie. So they say having two kids isn't double the work, it's triple the work. I don't know if anybody has experience there. Maybe you can shoot me a message and let me know. I'll keep you guys updated. Don't worry. Okay, and now for this week's show, another topic we often hear is immigrating to Hong Kong for entrepreneurs and business owners. And some of you may be considering long-term in Hong Kong at some point or another. Things have been changing since last summer, and we got Sam Chan on the show from Visa Pro to give us some insights. Just a quick shout out to my friend there, Brent Deverman from ShenzhenParty.com. Appreciate him connecting me to Sam for this interview. Okay, and I did ask Sam a fun question if Mark Zuckerberg could have gotten a visa here in Hong Kong when he was starting Facebook. So he answers that and more. So let's listen in to Sam. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We're here in TST Hong Kong, and we have with us Sam from Visa Pro. Thank you for being here, Sam.
Hello everybody, this is Sam from Visa Pro.
Do you want to quickly introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Yes, Visa Pro has been working on the Hong Kong inbound visas for 9 years. We've been doing all kinds of Hong Kong visas, and basically my role is as a chief consultant is to meet clients, to do the feasibility study, and to make sure the case is finally approved.
So you're the guy that deals with everything, right? You're like the quarterback.
Yeah, that's for sure. We make sure that the initial review with the client will confirm whether the case is a feasible one. And once that's confirmed, of course, my colleague would help for the documentation side.
All right. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure this is one of the first things a lot of, we'll say foreigners or not local Hong Kong people, you know, look into when they come to Hong Kong. I'm just kind of curious, maybe start off with some trends. So you've been doing this 9 years, which is a long time. How have you seen the industry change, and is it maybe easier, difficult, or maybe just some overview of the process?
Of course. Actually, there is a substantial change this year, May time this year. Previously, the name even is called Investment Visa for Employment. And now it's called Investment Visa as Entrepreneurs. And it's separate from the Employment Visa now. What have been changed, the key things that the website, the Immigration Department, you can check that there are more information in it, which essentially there was their internal requirements. They just put it online. Previously, they were just saying one thing that you have to make substantial contribution to the Hong Kong economy. And now they make everything more explicit, like you need a business plan, you have to create jobs for the local people, etc. So, but after May this year, however, even though they have more information on their website, in practice, it becomes even more slower now. It took around 2 to 3 months to get it before, and now it takes around 4 to 5 months at least. And because of they have more explicit internal guidelines, that also means that they have less flexibility to different companies. Having said that, the one thing that is good for entrepreneurs and they want to make a change is that if you actually have backup by the government programs like Cyberports, Science Park, etc., then you have a very good chance even though you don't have money.
Cool. Thanks for that. So there is still so this has replaced the old investment visa, or is it a second type of investment visa?
It is essentially the same. They just want to change that or put it away from the employment visa. They no longer treat that as part of the employment visa, put it this way, and want to make it more explicit as for entrepreneurs. So because they want to promote the entrepreneurial spirit and want more people to come to set up their own adventure here in Hong Kong. So it's essentially the same, but just make it more explicit for entrepreneurs now.
Okay. I'm going off my list of points here. I hope I'm not getting any secret questions, but... So somebody's like investing to be like a real estate investor or to be like, a non-entrepreneur, but a investor. Is that the same application still?
Right. Well, there was another type of visa before called Capital Investment Entrance Scheme, CIES. That was for people who invest 10 million Hong Kong dollars into financial products. Even before 2010, people can invest 6.5 million into real estate to get the visa. But since January this year, this CIES program has been suspended as well. So basically, it was a different program. When people heard about investment visa, they always tend to relate to the capital investment program. But for investment visa, as entrepreneurs, we have always been talking about setting up your own company and get your own visa through your own company.
Got it. Clear. So maybe I was misunderstanding. I thought this was going to be easier than the old investment visa, but maybe I'm mistaken. So you're talking about, I think the trend has been Hong Kong wants more innovation, more startups. So this is... Well, I thought that it changed. Is it more about your innovation rather than your money, basically?
Right. I mean, let me clarify a little bit more. Is that if you, the government would like to kind of separate two types of entrepreneurs. One is someone who has money for the traditional business types of companies they want to set up in Hong Kong. That kind of not changed a lot. But for the second type, for the innovative side, if you have very bright ideas and innovative ideas, bringing in advanced technology, for example, now the government would like to do something favorable for these people. So that's why there's a change since May this year. Those programs in Sabah Port, Science Park could actually make these investment visas more easy for these people. Previously, put it this way, even though you have a very innovative idea, but if you don't have sufficient money, the government still can't grant you the visa. But now, if you have a bright idea supported by the government programs, basically you can get this investment visa.
So we have previous shows if people want to listen to Science Park and Cyberport. I've heard you mention it a couple times already. So we've actually interviewed them on previous shows. We can link that in the notes. But it seems like a very strong part of the application process. I know that's mentioned there, so I think that really helps a lot then.
Yes, that's right. That really helps a lot. But of course, you can't get the investment visa with simply renting a space in Science Park. What I was saying is that if you get a support by these programs, that means you are the incubatee in one of these incubation programs. So it's not just also Science Park and Cyberport. You can also get support from Start Me Up, from Invest Hong Kong, or Hong Kong Design Center if you're in this business.
So yeah, there's a few other options. And then, you can't just, like you said, you can't just be a client. You have to be accepted into their programs. And there's like a two times, each one is different, but there's maybe two times a year that I think you can apply. And then there's also something about sponsors. Maybe give us some ideas of sponsors.
That's right. Yes. As for the investment visa application, you have to have a sponsor. It can either be a Hong Kong resident or permanent resident, ideally, or a Hong Kong limited company. The sponsor is actually not that critical, to be honest, for the investment visa program. The major reason for immigration to have sponsor as part of the application is to make sure that if someone's visa has been expiring, but they're not leaving Hong Kong for some reasons, the sponsor has to give them a flight ticket back their home.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that the sponsors always may be worried what's their risk. So that's the main risk, is the flight cost, or...
That's the main risk. Yeah, so if the applicant has some like financial issues or legal issues, it really doesn't relate to the sponsor. So the sort of risk is not that high. As long as you know the person, you can act as a sponsor.
That's good to know. Probably some listeners should copy that part and let the sponsor listen, or they should listen to this show. So I'm sure people are wondering, it's company or individual, does it matter? Or,
well, of course, if you know somebody who are really influential and well-known people, of course, or the company is really well-known as well, that would be helpful. But other than that, whether it's a company or an individual really doesn't matter. As long as they are able to sign, or they're willing to sign the form for you, then I think immigration will be happy with that.
So, yeah, and the sponsor thing is a pretty short. They don't have to do anything really, just put sign basically, right? So there's not much. Seems like it's not much risk for them to be a sponsor and then fill out the form and just sign.
Yeah, basically for an individual, we just need a copy of the ID card and they need to sign 2 pages of form. We need to put in the basic personal details. And if the sponsor is still doubtful about their responsibilities, when they sign the form in page 2 of that form, ID 999B, there are three or four points there noting their responsibility. And basically, the main risk is about the flight.
Got it. And then, so these are for entrepreneurs. So they're gonna, you know, can they be in Hong Kong already, or they should do this before they want to come to Hong Kong? Maybe what time should they start to look into this?
Right. I mean, unlike other programs in the world, like the UK, for example, in the UK, you just basically give them a business plan, and once approved, you then set up your own company and create local jobs, etc. But in Hong Kong, however, they do the other way around. They want you to show your commitment. And to show them the commitment, you have to set up your own company first here, bank account set up, even have your office ready. Whether you have a local staff or not, it's not that, it's preferred, of course, but it's not that critical from the very beginning. Going back to your question, because now it takes around 4 to 5 months to process the application. If someone has to come here and wait for around half a year, that could be painful. So I would really suggest the applicants who can start the process while they're in their own home country. Maybe they come in to Hong Kong around like 3-4 months after the application is submitted. Of course, they may come here once or twice to set up the company, bank account, etc., but not try to wait here for the whole process.
But like maybe they want to. There's tons of people that kind of fall in love with Hong Kong, and I was just talking to somebody last night that's been here for like 8 or 9 years. She's from Japan. Lost the thought there, but you know, so sometimes they want to stay here, and they're afraid. Maybe they're on a tourist visa and they're working. But it seems like they have to do that because they have to come here and be a tourist to set up a company and a bank account and then wait for half a year. They can hire people. So there's no risk of them like being a tourist and operating a business here.
Right. Yes. Put it this way. I mean, first of all, while I'm saying that they should wait in home country, they don't have to. They can come here and wait here for around a few months if they want to be using their visa-free period. But of course, as a tourist, you can do various things. Of course, not working officially. You can set up your own company, bank account, doing meetings, even recruiting staff. Getting your office tenancy agreement signed, that's all okay as a tourist. But officially, you can't work or during the groundwork for your own company, even though it's your own company. If you want to do something, you can do something out of Hong Kong. And from the immigration perspective, they would like, I mean, of course, from the owner perspective, it's not really that practical. But from the immigration perspective, is that you can always hire people to help you while you're managing them to do some work for you in Hong Kong. As the owner, without a visa, you should not be working yet.
Okay, I think I'll leave it at that. It sounds a little bit confusing, to say the least, because you're a tourist, but you can't work. But you're anyway. I understand. I know that's the policy, but I think it's a little. a little bit sometimes confusing. So I'm sure people are interested to try to do this. So they wanted me to build up as strong of a case. I've had emails from listeners. They're asking me like, oh, I want to go to a science park or CyberPort, and they want to apply. They have like, you know, a lot of times they're Americans or Europeans, and they have like, they're educated and they have a lot of things prepared. Maybe what do you normally tell a prospective client that contacts you?
Well, I think the key thing, first of all, that we can't change as a consultant is your ability to demonstrate your capital. So we are talking about, for a new investment visa, we're talking about around 1 to 3 million Hong Kong dollars in the bank account. You don't have to spend it right away, but you have to show immigration you have sufficient fund to run and develop your business. So for more consulting type of business, it could be around 1 million. For more trading type of business, we're talking about 3 million roughly. So there is no, if you go through the website in the immigration department, you can't find these figures at all. And basically, they want to maintain their own flexibility, let's put it this way. And also to be favorable for those people who can bring in advanced technology. That means those people may not be, they don't need to show that much of money, that much amount of money. Also, on the other hand, I would like to mention that if you are already here in Hong Kong holding an employment visa, switching the visa type from employment to investment would be a lot easier. Basically, it takes around a month to get it done. You don't have to show that 1 million plus money. We're talking about roughly a couple of 100,000. And then because basically if you are changing this visa type from employment to investment, that is reviewed by the extension section, which is the fifth floor in the immigration tower. But if you're a newcomer, you have to go through the 24th floor, which is more strict, put it this way. And because you have been already admitted as an employment visa holder, immigration is more comfortable with your background and your skill set, etc. So we have been doing a lot of applications these days, changing from employment to investment, especially, I mean, given the recent trend of restructuring within the finance and banking industry. I mean, these people who are highly educated, with very good amount of salary, capital, of course. And these people would like to stay in Hong Kong. And of course, they would like to do something in the financial services that can leverage their own network and skill set, etc. So changing their visa to investment visa is not as difficult as people who come to Hong Kong as a newcomer.
That's really good tip. I learned from that one. But I think, you know, as an I think I'm an entrepreneur, and a lot of times people don't want to work for a bank or a big company, but it seems like that's just the policy or the procedure here. How about students? I know there's some people's strategy is they maybe take either full-time or part-time studies here and then maybe start their own business. Is that a strategy or?
Right. I mean, if you come here to get a degree course, say a master degree, 1 year course, for example, after that, you can get a special type of visa called a non-local graduate, IANG. With that, you can easily set up your own company and get your visa switched later on. Or even you can continue with your RANG and show that you have some development with your own company. That's perfectly fine. But if you come here for like a short-term course or like part-time course with a student visa, that doesn't give you the non-local graduate visa. Changing from a student visa of that type of student visa to investment visa doesn't give you any advantage.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. Because especially dealing with immigration, it's not so clear, right? And it must be a challenge for you, right? Do policies change often? Do you see a lot of changes now, or is it pretty stable?
Officially, or if you're talking about official announcement from immigration, the change is not a lot. It happens only once every 2-3 years only. So it's not that difficult to follow the changes for the official part. But they actually do a lot of changes internally. What this means is you can see that there is no fixed amount or fixed number of days you have to stay here, for example, for a PR application. But internally, they have their own guidelines. And these guidelines have been changed frequently. So we have to actually test the time kind of bottom line or the policy, new internal guidelines every now and then. And we learn it by talking to the officers as well, with where we have cases submitted. So we talk to them and really talk about the new requirements and the changes they have internally.
I'm thinking this might be fun. I just kind of thought of it during the interview, but I wonder if Mark Zuckerberg could have gotten an entrepreneur visa. Maybe, of course, now anybody in the world will have Mark Zuckerberg, but Mark Zuckerberg dropped out of Harvard, so he doesn't have a college. I don't know, maybe he got one now, but he didn't finish his degree. And I know, at least I think, I've had other friends that don't have degrees in their home country or anywhere. I think that's still important for Hong Kong, right? So I don't think Mark Zuckerberg, I watched a movie, you know, the movie, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I say he borrowed $50,000, which is like, what's that times eight? You know, like a few hundred thousand Hong Kong dollars. So let's just say, for example, Mark Zuckerberg wanted to come to Hong Kong and start the Facebook, and he dropped out of Harvard and he had $50,000. I don't think he would have gotten it, right? I mean, maybe that's just a crazy example, but at least I want to talk about the degree, because I think a lot of times my friends, they don't have degrees, and that's still pretty important here. So they should maybe work on that. Or what can they do if maybe they dropped out of college? A lot of times in the US, they actually, more and more cool thing is, I'm an entrepreneur, I don't need this college stuff. But I think it's important if they want to come to Hong Kong. Maybe that's a indirect way of me asking about the degree thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, if Mark came here, like when he first dropped there, his college, I believe he couldn't get the investment visa. Unless his Facebook program can be one of the incubation programs with the Cyberport or Science Park. But yeah, I doubt he would get it actually under the current policy. Going back to your question, degree or bachelor degree is very important, no matter for employment visa or investment visa. Of course, if you have substantial work experience or entrepreneurial experience, that could be kind of supplemented or replaced. But if you are like 23, 24 years old, but you really don't have the bachelor degree, that's really a challenge to get a visa, no matter it's employment or investment even.
Thanks. So sorry, Mark, you can't come to Hong Kong. But so how does your service, you know, I really appreciate, you know, you've really been sharing a lot, and I'm sure there's listeners that are interested in how you work. Maybe you could share a little bit about Visa Pro.
Yeah, thank you. For as I mentioned from the beginning, the first key thing we need to do is to do an initial review with our client. So we have a face-to-face meeting to make sure we have a frank discussion and to make sure that the case is feasible or not. We set up, once it's confirmed, then we'll actually do the overall strategy setting with a client, how we're going to work out, what's the approach. And before, even though we've talked all this through with initial review and strategy setting, etc., it's a free consultation services from the very beginning. You don't have to pay anything until you sign the engagement letter with us. We do a full service application. So basically from the beginning until you get the visa, everything will be under our responsibilities. We help our client to fill in the form, of course, send them templates, draft a business plan. As a CPA myself, I could really help the client to make a sensible business plan. And also from the immigration perspective, there were some figures or ways of presentation they would like to see. So to make sure that immigration is happy with that. So, and normally after the initial review and before we sign the engagement letter, we basically confirm our client, our fee, of course, and also the money back guarantee. For more than 90% of our cases, we offer 100% money back guarantee. And so far, touch wood, we have more than 98% successful rate. And for people changing from employment to investment, we have 100% success rate so far. So no rejections over. So that's why we are actually having this. We're not like some firms that they don't offer money back guarantee. That means they can just accept cases as long as client pays, because there's no risk for the company to accept these applications. But from our side, we want to have the same goal with our client, that unless we're confident to get it done, we don't actually accept the case, or we don't actually go ahead. So that's why our clients would have a good expectation of the result.
Sounds great. And do you have any last tips? Or I think it was really good. And or how can people reach out to you?
Right. Last tip is that, of course, if you are already having your own business elsewhere in the world, in your own country, it will be very useful to demonstrate the track record. So say for you're coming from the US and you've been running your own company for around a year, even though it's now suspended or closed, as long as we can show that you had a track record of running a good business, then it will be very good to show it to immigration that you have that experience, and that will be helpful for them to think that you're you are able to develop your own business in Hong Kong and replicate this kind of experience that you had. So yes, rather than just focusing on the Hong Kong side, leveraging all your past experience, records, business will be very helpful for the investment visa. So if you want to know more about our services, then please go to our website for visapro.com.hk, and you can always reach me, Sam, and I'll be always happy to meet you and discuss with you and discuss your all the background and the possibility of the case.
Do we have any like perk for the listeners or discounts?
Yes, of course. Whenever you quote Global from Asia, when we meet or when you email us, then we'll offer 10% discount from our standard fee.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Sam. And that's a wrap. Good luck, everybody. I hope everybody gets approved, and have a great day.
Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Okay, so there you have it. Seems Mark Zuckerberg may have had some trouble getting into Hong Kong to start Facebook. So that's, pretty interesting stuff for you guys to understand. Well, that's legally anyway. You know, maybe Mark wouldn't have cared about legal or not legal, not making any assumptions here. But, you know, I think a lot of times entrepreneurs are risk takers and they got to make some moves. So if you think Hong Kong is the right place for your business and your operations, then just get over here and make it happen. There's a ton of great people here who will help you out and support you. And so don't find any excuses. It's a new year, 2016, right? So get on the airplane and make something happen. So that's it for this week's show. Next time, actually now it's time for me to start editing video. I've been working hard on this little fun project of vlogging or video blogs. If you want to check them out, they're kind of like fun little clips of things that I'm doing in my daily life and business. Kind of got some inspiration from other vloggers out there. I try to keep them entertaining, and sometimes there's been run-ins with the police about cameras and others, Elvises and burning stuff in the middle of the streets and all kinds of stuff, eating bugs. It's been fun. It's a lot of work editing, so it's going to be a couple more hours for me working here. But if you want to check them out, they're at mikesblog.com/videos. So that's it for today. Have a great day and get out there and kick some butt for 2016. Peace.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.